Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Welcome to this deep dive. Today, we're digging into a whole pile of updates just from one single day, June 5th, 2025. We want to get a real-time snapshot of this, well, whirlwind that is AI development right now.
Yeah, it's a lot. We've pulled together news from basically all corners of AI innovation for that day.
And our mission really is to try and untangle these threads just from that one day. You know, see what was making waves, understand the ripples, and figure out what this specific moment tells us about where AI is really headed.
It's like freezing a frame in a really fast-moving movie, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Trying to see all the detail.
Exactly. And what a frame. It feels like the pace is, well, it's just accelerating, right? So maybe the best place to start untangling is how governments and legal systems are reacting. Or trying to react.
Yeah, trying is the key word. It feels like the tech is way out ahead of the rule book sometimes.
Definitely. And that friction, it's creating some pretty big headlines. One of the really notable ones from June 5th was a move out of the Trump administration about the AI Safety Institute.
Right. That caught a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. They essentially rebranded it. And the key thing, they dropped the word safety from the name.
Just dropped safety. That alone says quite a bit, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And it wasn't just the name change. It was backed up by comments from Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick. He was quoted pretty directly saying, we're not going to regulate it.
We're not going to regulate it. Wow. Okay, that's unambiguous. What's the implied message there, do you think?
Well, it strongly suggests a deliberate move towards a much more laissez-faire approach. Hands off, basically, at least from that part of the government regarding AI development.
Right.
Taking safety out of the name and coupling it with that direct quote against regulation.
Yeah.
It sends a very clear signal to researchers, to ethicists, people who've been pushing for guardrails. The implication seems to be that, you know, fostering rapid innovation, maybe competitiveness, is the top priority, potentially over those mandatory safety checks or ethical frameworks that many argue are, well, pretty crucial right now.
So it creates an environment where companies might feel less pressure to slow down or implement costly safety stuff.
That seems to be the direction, yeah. Less pressure from federal oversight on that front.
Okay, so while one part of the government might be signaling less regulation, the courts seem to be getting pulled in constantly because of AI's impact, like this OpenAI legal fight over user data.
Yes, this is a really fascinating one, a real flashpoint. OpenAI is actively pushing back against a court order, an order demanding they save all user logs from ChatGPT interactions.
All of them. Why? What's the background there?
It came up in the middle of these ongoing copyright infringement lawsuits. News organizations are suing. And they're worried that potential evidence, you know, stuff related to how the AI was trained might get deleted or destroyed.
Okay, so the news outlets fear evidence disappearing, and OpenAI's response is...
OpenAI is basically saying, whoa, hold on. They've got several arguments. First, they say the order is just way too broad. And technically, it's a massive burden.
I can imagine.
Yeah, they argue complying would make it incredibly difficult, maybe impossible, to protect user privacy across all their different users. Free. Plus Pro, and importantly, their API customers, too. The volume of data is just staggering.
Right. The scale is huge. Hundreds of millions of users, potentially.
Exactly. And OpenAI contends that saving absolutely everything without a really specific proven need creates a major privacy risk globally. We're talking current chats, deleted chats, maybe sensitive business data passed through the API. So this whole situation, it really throws that underlying tension into sharp relief, doesn't it? The push for AI transparency and data access versus, you know, established privacy rules and what users expect.
Yeah, a real clash. And speaking of clashes over data, Reddit launched its own lawsuit, but against Anthropic this time. Different kind of data fight.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm. And this one could be really important for setting precedents about AI training. Reddit's claim is basically that Anthropic illegally scraped a huge amount of data, over 100,000 pages of comments, specifically to train Claude, their AI model.
Illegally scraped. So not just using public data, but doing it in a way Reddit forbids.
That's the core accusation, yeah. Reddit alleges Anthropic deliberately bypassed technical safeguards, things like robots.txt, files, the signals, telling bots where not to go, and also IP address rate limits that are designed to stop massive automated scraping.
Uh-huh. So actively working around the fences.
Seems to be the claim. And maybe even more significantly, Reddit says Anthropic ignored their specific compliance API. That's a tool meant for developers to check if content they accessed has since been deleted by users, so they can delete it too.
Wow. Okay, so ignoring user deletions too. That sounds pretty deliberate, if true. What does Reddit want out of this?
Well, money, for one. Damages. They argue they lost out on licensing fees they could have charged if Anthropic had asked permission. But the bigger ask, perhaps, is that they want Anthropic to delete any models and datasets that contain this scraped Reddit data.
Delete the models.
And crucially, stop any commercial use of Claude models that were trained using that data.
That last part sounds like it could be a huge deal, right? If Reddit wins. Could it force AI companies to really prove where their data came from? Maybe lead to much stricter licensing?
Absolutely. It could have massive ripple effects. This case really puts the ethics and legality of training AI on publicly available but potentially licensed or copyrighted web data right under the microscope. Definitely one to watch.
Yeah, no kidding. And it's not just the newer AI companies bumping into issues. Even Google paused a feature, didn't they? This Ask Photos thing.
That's right. Ask Photos was meant to let you search your own photo library using natural language. You know, ask things like, show me photos from my beach trip last year, or find pictures of the cat sleeping. But they quietly paused the rollout.
And why the pause?
The cited reasons were concerns about accuracy and, again, privacy. It makes sense, right? When you point powerful AI at something as personal as someone's entire photo history.
Yeah, the stakes are high.
Exactly. Getting it wrong, misinterpreting a query, or worse, having it feel like surveillance, that becomes a huge problem. Mm. It just highlights how fragile user trust can be when AI gets really close to our personal data.
Makes sense. And just to connect a couple of threads, there was also that news about Windsurf CEO mentioning Anthropic restricting their access to Claude models, reportedly after the OpenAI acquisition.
Yeah, that piece seemed like maybe a specific business dispute on the surface. But it could tie into these bigger themes we're discussing. Data access, model control. Who gets to use these powerful tools, especially when ownership changes or consolidation happens?
Right, like the plumbing of the AI world.
Exactly. As these models become foundational infrastructure, who controls the taps becomes a critical issue for businesses built on top of them. Another dimension to this whole complex picture.
So looking at all this from just June 5th, you've got the U.S. admin signaling maybe less safety oversight, companies battling in court over data rights and privacy, even giants like Google hitting pause. What does this whirlwind tell us about the sort of growing pains of managing AI? And how might these fights, these policy shifts, like whether safety is literally in the name or not, how might that actually affect the AI tools you, the listener, use or might use soon? It feels like the ground is definitely shifting.
It really shows that fundamental tension, doesn't it? The tech develops proactively, super fast, and the legal and regulatory stuff is reactive, always playing catch up. These battles are basically society trying to figure out the rules of the road while the cars are already speeding down the highway.
Yeah, well put. And while the lawyers and policymakers are wrestling with all that, the actual applications of AI seem to be just exploding everywhere you look.
Absolutely. Which brings us neatly to our next big area, AI actually getting to work, moving beyond the lab and the courtroom into real industry adoption and tools that could change how we live and work.
Okay, so where did we see AI showing up on June 5th? One partnership that jumped out was AMC, the entertainment company working with Runway.
Right. AMC Networks partnering with Runway, who are known for their generative AI tools, especially for video and visuals. They're specifically looking at using Gen AI in their TV and film production processes.
Using it how, though? What's the actual goal?
The stated goals are pretty clear. Cut production costs and speed up post-production work. You can imagine using AI for things like automating certain visual effects, maybe generating background elements, or even helping streamline the editing flow.
So this isn't just indie creators anymore. This is mainstream Hollywood big studios looking seriously at AI for making movies and TV shows.
That's what this partnership signals, yeah. AI-powered content creation moving into the big leagues. It could really start to reshape how things get made, the budgets, the timelines, maybe even the creative possibilities.
Wow. Okay, definitely something to watch. And then in a completely different world, Amazon testing humanoid robots for package delivery. That sounds like straight up science fiction.
It really does, doesn't it? But yeah, Amazon is running trials, not just in a lab, but in what they're calling a dedicated humanoid park in the U.S. And they're using Rivian electric vans as part of the setup.
A humanoid park? Seriously, what are they actually testing there? What's the robot do?
So picture the van pulling up. The idea they're testing is, can the humanoid robot efficiently get out of the van, grab a package, and deliver it to the doorstep, while the human driver is maybe simultaneously delivering another package nearby on foot?
Ah, okay. So it's about efficiency, making two deliveries at once from one vehicle.
That seems to be the core goal, yeah.
Yeah.
Speeding up that crucial last-mile delivery, especially in denser areas. The park is likely for refining the robot's movements, navigation, package handling, all that stuff, before they try it out on, quote, field trips to actual homes.
The potential impact on delivery times and, let's be honest, labor costs, that could be absolutely massive if they get it working at scale.
Huge implications for logistics networks, definitely.
And shifting from robots delivering packages to tools maybe more of us might use directly. ChatGPT got some significant upgrades, right? Moving towards being more of a like central work hub.
Yeah, they rolled out features in two main areas. First, much deeper integration with cloud storage, specifically Dropbox and Google Drive.
Okay, what does that let it do?
This is pretty powerful. It lets ChatGPT search inside your own files stored there to answer your questions.
Wait, really? So I could ask it about like the contents of a report or spreadsheet I have saved in my Google Drive. That's a big step beyond just searching the web. It's accessing my stuff.
Exactly. It potentially turns ChatGPT into a personal knowledge assistant for your own digital files.
Mm-hmm.
The second big area was all about meetings.
Ah, meetings.
What's new there?
A whole suite of things. Meeting recording and transcription, naturally. But also generating notes with timestamps linked back to the recording, suggesting follow-up actions based on the discussion, letting you query the meeting notes later, like searching a document.
And even turning identified action items directly into a structured document format they call Canvas.
Okay, that collection of features really does push ChatGPT much further into being an all-around productivity tool, especially for businesses, right? Streamlining all that meeting admin and follow-up.
Definitely seems aimed at boosting enterprise adoption, yeah. Automating tasks that usually take up a fair bit of manual effort after meetings.
Interesting. And kind of related to AI-generating content, Anthropic is actually using its own AI, Claude, to write its company blog posts.
That's right. They launched a section called Claude Explains,
yeah,
which is focused on educational stuff, mainly for developers.
Yeah.
And the key point is the articles are written by their Claude models.
Written by the AI. Is there like a human editor involved or?
They do state there's human oversight in the process, yes.
Mm.
But the initial drafting, the core content creation, comes from the AI.
Okay. What's the significance of that, do you think?
Well, it shows a growing confidence, doesn't it?
Oh.
Trusting their own generative AI to produce coherent, informative, public-facing content under the company banner.
It does. Though I guess it also brings up those questions about transparency again, right? Should AI-authored content always be clearly labeled, even if edited by humans? It's part of that ongoing debate about authorship and accountability.
Absolutely. It's a tricky area. Mm. And just rattling off a few other tool updates from that day that seemed significant.
Yeah, what else was out there?
Mistral AI. They're a big name, particularly in open source and enterprise. They released Mistral Code. It's pitched as an enterprise-grade coding assistant, bundling several of their models to help developers write and debug code faster. A clear competitor in that space.
Okay, AI for coding. What else?
Luma Labs, they do cool stuff with visuals. They launched something called Modify Video.
Modify Video, what does it modify?
Apparently it lets you take an existing video and completely restyle it using AI.
Mm-hmm.
Not just filters, but potentially changing the whole visual style or even swapping characters or backgrounds after filming.
Whoa, seriously, that sounds like it could be huge for video editing and effects if it works well.
Potentially, yeah. A massive tool for creators. And then Suno, the AI music platform, they rolled out a bunch of new features too.
Ah, Suno's been getting a lot of buzz. What did they add?
Things like an upgraded editor for more control, stem extraction, which is huge for musicians, letting you separate vocals, drums, etc., plus creative sliders for fine-tuning the style, and longer uploads up to 8 minutes for using your own audio prompts.
Okay, look at the sheer range then. We've got AI potentially changing how movies are made, humanoid robots delivering packages, sophisticated tools for coding, video editing, music creation, all hitting the market or advancing significantly. It feels like AI is starting to pop up in places you might not have even thought about a year or two ago. How are you seeing it show up unexpectedly?
The breadth is just incredible, isn't it? And the speed. But of course, all these amazing applications, these new models getting smarter, they don't run on hopes and dreams. They need serious power and constant improvement under the hood.
Right. Which brings us to that third crucial piece from the June 5th news, the stuff about actually powering and improving AI, the infrastructure and the foundational tech needed to make it all work.
Exactly. And one headline really drove home the sheer scale of the infrastructure needed, Meta's move on energy sourcing.
Well, yeah, the Meta deal. They signed a big deal with Constellation Energy, didn't they? Explicitly linked to powering their AI infrastructure. And the power source was nuclear.
Nuclear power, yes.
Mm.
A 247 carbon-free source to meet the massive, relentless energy demands of their AI data centers.
Nuclear for data centers. That feels like a significant statement about just how much power this AI boom requires.
It absolutely is. The requirements are just astronomical, and they're growing like crazy. Training and running these huge AI models takes reliable, high-density power. Meta turning to nuclear suggests that, you know, maybe traditional renewables alone or even fossil fuels aren't enough or aren't the right fit strategically for this kind of constant heavy load in some places.
So the AI arms race isn't just about chips and algorithms. It's actually pushing innovation, or at least new strategies, in large-scale energy generation, too, even bringing nuclear back into the corporate spotlight.
It seems that way, yeah.
Yeah.
It really highlights the massive physical footprint supporting this digital AI revolution.
Truly underscores the scale. Okay, so that's the power input. What about making the AI itself better, more trustworthy? There was news about an MIT spin-out, Themis AI.
Yes, Themis AI. Yeah. They're tackling a really fundamental challenge in AI right now, uncertainty, or sometimes called calibration.
Uncertainty, meaning what exactly?
Meaning they're building tools to help AI models understand and, crucially, communicate what they don't know or how confident they actually are about an answer or a prediction they make.
Oh, okay. That sounds incredibly important, especially with all the talk about AI hallucinations or models just making stuff up confidently.
It's absolutely vital. Think about using AI in critical areas, healthcare, finance, autonomous systems. Knowing when the AI is unsure is potentially just as important as knowing when it's confident and correct. Themis AI's work aims to build that reliability and risk awareness into the systems.
So how do their tools actually help? What's the outcome?
The tools provide ways for models to output not just an answer, but also some kind of score or measure of its own confidence or uncertainty about that answer. This lets a human user or another automated system know whether to trust the output, whether to double check it, or maybe just rely on a different method if the AI flags low confidence.
Okay, so we could eventually expect AI systems that are, in a way, more honest about their own limitations, leading to safer deployment in those critical areas.
That's precisely the goal. It's foundational work, maybe less flashy than a new AI image generator, but arguably essential for building long-term trust and enabling AI to be used safely and effectively, where mistakes really matter.
Right. So when you think about what it takes securing immense, reliable power like nuclear and this deep fundamental research into making AI understand its own limits, what kind of massive underlying effort is really needed just to support all those applications we talked about, the movie making, the robots, the productivity tools, it's clearly way more than just coding.
Oh, absolutely. It highlights that this AI revolution is deeply multidisciplinary. It needs huge investments in computing, yes, but also breakthroughs in energy, material science, and fundamental AI theory around things like uncertainty, fairness, and robustness. It's this vast interconnected ecosystem.
Okay, let's try and pull this all together then. Just from this one day, June 5th, 2025, we saw governments grappling, sometimes quite contentiously, with regulation and safety. We saw major legal fights over data, privacy, who owns what. We saw this absolute flood of new AI applications hitting seemingly every industry.
And underpinning it all, these huge infrastructure demands like the Meta nuclear deal and this crucial background work like Themis AI, trying to make the technology itself more reliable and trustworthy.
It really paints a picture of a technology just churning, evolving incredibly fast, but also constantly bumping up against existing rules, expectations about privacy, ethical questions, and even the physical limits of energy and computing.
That dynamic tension is key, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Rapid innovation versus the slower pace of governance, ethics, and infrastructure adaptation.
Yeah. And it reinforces that AI isn't just, you know, one single thing moving forward. It's this really complex ecosystem changing on so many fronts at once with all these different forces pushing and pulling.
It's an incredibly exciting time, full of potential, but also one that clearly requires a lot of careful navigation and critical thinking about the challenges.
Definitely. So wrapping up this deep dive, the snapshot from June 5th really hammers home that feeling. AI is moving at an absolute breakneck speed, bringing amazing applications, yes, but also generating these really fundamental questions and conflicts that we're only just starting to wrestle with as a society.
It's a landscape demanding constant attention and, yeah, informed thought about where it's all heading.
So here's a thought to leave you with. Considering everything we've touched on just from this one day, the policy signals, the explosion of applications, the legal fights over data, the energy demands, the push for reliability, which single development or trend do you think will turn out to be the most important one to keep an eye on over the next year? What's the signal in all this noise that you think really matters most? Something to chew on.
That's an excellent question to ponder.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the AI whirlwind of June 5th, 2025.